HMS Beeps. Establishment of an intermediate base. When the British Pacific Fleet arrived in Australia, plans were made for an intermediate base to be established in the Admiralties, at Manus. Captain H.F. Waite, OBE, Senior British Naval Officer, Manus, arrived in the Admiralty Islands on February 16, 1945, having flown into Momote Airfield from Sydney. A British naval camp was prepared by American ratings on a high ridge overlooking Loringo Harbour, on the northeast coast of Manus Island, 3 miles from the main U.S. base. The camp was ready for occupation by the time the personnel and stores arrived, by sea, on February 26 aboard the SS City of Paris. She was unloaded alongside one of the two large jetties in the harbor capable of berthing Liberty ships. All stores and equipment were moved inland with American assistance. Captain M.H. Evely was appointed as naval officer in charge, intermediate base, on February 28. At this point the naval party had no transport of its own and would depend completely on American help and equipment for many months. Accommodation was in Quonset huts in the British camp, but messing was shared with the Americans. Captain Waite was accommodated in the American Commodore's mess. 4 days after the intermediate base was established, the fleet train, under the command of Rear Admiral Fisher in HMS Lothian, arrived at Seadley Harbour on March 2. On March 7, the British Pacific Fleet arrived, under the command of Vice Admiral Rawlings, consisting of two battleships, HMS King George V, flag of Vice Admiral Rawlings, and the fleet carriers HMS Indomitable, flag of Vice Admiral Vian, Indefatigable, Illustrious and Victorious, cruisers HMS Swiftsure, flag of Rear Admiral Brind, Eurylus, Black Prince, Argonaut, Gambier, and a number of destroyers, under the command of Rear Admiral Liddleston. After senior officers for the RN and USN met aboard King George V, many American facilities were made available for access by the British Pacific Fleet, including oiling, watering and berthing facilities, the use of shore-based training bases and live firing ranges, and the rest and recreation center on Pitiolo Island, for the big ships, and another on Rara Island, for destroyers. The warships of the BPF, now Task Force No. 57, sailed for Ulithi Atoll, some 900 miles north of Manus, on March 18, while elements of the fleet train, designated Task Force 112, sailed the following day for Leyte Gulf. During this period, the British naval party had mainly acted as liaisons between the fleet and the staff of the US base. In the coming months they were to establish several key parts of the BPF intermediate base infrastructure. Expansion. A fleet mail section was established under Lieutenant W. Burgess, RNVR, a GPO expert in civil life. He was given the title of Fleet Mail Officer. A large area of the American mail office was taken over and organized to deal with the large quantities of letters and parcels arriving by air from Sydney. These were rapidly sorted and dispatched forward to the combat zone by American aircraft. Agreement was reached to set up a British Naval Air Office at Momote, a large American airfield situated about 15 miles east of the main base at Loringo. Lieutenant Coles, RNVR, was appointed as British Air Liaison Officer, and he was provided with access to two huts for the receipt of stores and mails of onward dispatch, part of a hangar for servicing and minor repairs, and to accommodation for British officers and ratings, and route to the ships in the combat zone was made available in the nearby American transit camp. A British communication center was set up as soon as possible, initially all W.T. communications, teleprints, ciphers, etc., had to be dealt with through the American communication center. The British center was under the control of Lieutenant Walsh, RNVR's communications officer. By the end of May 1945, powered boats and motor transport had arrived from Australia, together with personnel to man them. These were put to good use by Lieutenant Commander Worrell, RNR, berthing officer and second-in-command. This meant more huts for accommodation were required. The original official request was for 8 huts. The number had been increased to 30 after some local negotiation, but any further expansion of the British camp would need to be through official channels. The ships of TF-57 withdrew from the forward area on May 25 on completion of iceberg operations and proceeded to Manus and Australia for replenishment. The fleet train also withdrew to Manus, sailing in 2 convoys, one on the 20th and the second on the 25th. By now more elements of the fleet train had arrived at Manus and more equipment and stores were put ashore of the intermediate base. British Air Casualty Clearance Service. The BPF was granted the facilities at the large American military hospital on Manus, capable of dealing with 1,500 stretcher cases, but it was decided to set up a British Air Casualty Clearance Service to fly patients between Manus and Sydney. This was established under the direction of the British Camp Medical Officer, Surgeon Lieutenant Commander A.D. Mitchell, RNVR. Several planes were made available, and 6 Queen Alexander's Royal Naval Nursing Service sisters were sent forward from Sydney and accommodated in the nurses' quarters at U.S. Naval Base Hospital 15, the only place where women served. Casualties arrived at Manus on British hospital ships and were treated at the U.S. Base Hospital until fit to travel. From there they were taken to the sick quarters at Momote Airfield the evening before a flight and were cared for by RN sick berth attendants overnight. 1 Queen Alexander's Royal Naval Nursing Service sister and sick berth attendant attended to their needs during the flight. The first stop was Milne Bay to refuel, then on to Townsville for an overnight stop. The patients were cared for in an Australian military hospital. On to Brisbane and another overnight stop before arriving at Mascot Airport in Sydney, where the patients were taken to RN Hospital, Herne Bay. Post-war. The fleet train remained at Manus until early September, when many ships sailed for Hong Kong and Singapore to support the reoccupation forces tasked with liberating the former colonies. At this time Captain Waite was appointed as Captain Superintendent, Designate, Hong Kong, and he left Manus aboard the submarine depot ship HMS Maidstone with an advance party to begin surveying the dockyard and area. It is unclear who replaced him as SBNO Manus. The intermediate base was carried on the books of HMS Golden Hind in Sydney, and although the ship's name Pepys had been approved, this was not used until after the war. The planned intermediate base did not materialise. Had the Admiralty proceeded with developing the planned base, it would not have been completed until February 1946. By the end of the war the base had a staff of some 30 officers and 500 ratings. It commissioned as HMS Pepys on October 1, 1945, but was closed and paid off on March 6, 1946. Article produced by Tony Drury. Copyright 2015. www.royalnavyresearcharchive.org.uk.